Hi, everybody. I'm Tom Hall. Welcome to Midday. The 2016 presidential election campaign will be remembered as one of the most unorthodox and divisive in our nation's history. The election has spawned an outpouring of political analyses, but school teachers say they need more than op-ed articles to help their students make sense of the election. Today, we're going to talk with three education scholars about their efforts to provide America's teachers with a new syllabus, a Trump syllabus, with a comprehensive set of lesson plans, readings, and resource lists to explain and understand the election of Donald Trump and its implications for the country. KY's Whitehead, Jessica Schiller, and Alicia Moore on teaching Trump to kids. Plus, theater critic J. Wynn Russick stops by with her review of A Christmas Story, a musical version of the beloved holiday tale at the Hippodrome. Midday gets underway right after the news. And good afternoon, everybody. Glad you're with us today. I'm Tom Hall. This is Midday. It's been a little over a month since the U.S. presidential election. Republican Donald Trump's surprise victory in the Electoral College tally, despite Democrat Hillary Clinton's 2.7 million popular vote plurality, is an outcome that continues to stir passions across the country. Those passions were stoked during an especially vitriolic and divisive presidential campaign, but Trump's Election Day win stunned his political opponents, especially given his support among white supremacists, his calls for mass roundups of illegal immigrants, his call for a ban on Muslim immigration, and his demeaning and predatory comments about women. And since his victory, some of the president-elect's appointments and nominations for advisors and cabinet posts have intensified the concerns of many Americans, especially those in communities of color, that a Donald Trump presidency may even legitimize racial and ethnic intolerance. Since the election, there has been a spike in hate crimes and incidents of bigotry in schools. Many young people have expressed concerns about the uncertain future of our country. Many teachers and administrators have appealed to education scholars for help and guidance in teaching their students about the election, about its potential implications, and about ways students can express and act constructively on their concerns. My guests today on Midday are three education scholars who have responded to this need for a post-election lesson plan. They are currently working with K-12 and even college teachers around the country to compile what they're calling the Trump syllabus, K-12. That syllabus will be introduced at the Baltimore Trump Teach-In tonight at 7 o'clock at Red Emma's Bookstore in Station North here in Baltimore. That event is co-sponsored by the Teachers Democracy Project and Towson University's Social Justice Collective. So helping to lead the teach-in will be Dr. Kay Wise Whitehead. She's an associate professor of communication and African and African-American studies at Loyola University, Maryland, and the founding executive director of the Emily Francis Davis Center for Education, Research, and Culture. She's also the author of several books, most recently Letters to My Black Sons, Raising Boys in a Post-Racial America. Dr. K, always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure for me as well. Thank you.
Professor Jessica Schiller will be moderating the teach-in tonight. Dr. Schiller is an assistant professor of education in the Department of Instructional Leadership and Professional Development at Towson University. She's also taught high school in New York and coached new teachers in the Bronx. Before coming to Towson, she was on the faculty of Lehman College, City University of New York. Dr. Schiller, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
And joining us by phone from Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas, is Dr. Alicia Moore. She's an education professor, an author, and a consultant, and she currently holds the Cargill Endowed Professorship in the Department of Education at Southwestern. A specialist in multiculturalism, early childhood, and special education, she has served for the past 10 years as the co-editor of the Association for the Study of African-American Life and History Black History Bulletin, and she was a major contributor to an education blog entitled How Parents and Teachers Should Teach Children About Slavery. Dr. Moore, welcome to the program. Thanks for your time.
Good afternoon. It's my pleasure.
And we would like to hear from you. Join us and join our conversation to let us know what you're telling your kids about the election of Donald Trump. Our phone number here on Midday, 410-662-8780, our email midday@wipr.org, and our Twitter handle if you want to drop us a tweet at Midday Tom Hall. So Dr. K, let's start with you. Where do you start when it comes to talking to children, particularly little kids? I'm interested. I mean, this curriculum is K through 12, but when you start talking to a third grader or a sixth grader about this, and then you know moving on up to the juniors and seniors in high school. What's your launching point after this election?
Well, I think it's important to realize that when students come into the classroom, they don't come in as blank slates. They're coming in having heard the words of their parents or their grandparents or family members who have very strong opinions, either to the right or to the left, about this election. And when students are hurting, as I saw third graders crying and fourth graders crying, they're not crying because they actually understand what is happening. They're crying because of the reactions of their parents, or they're feeling jubilant because their parents are saying a good thing has happened. So I start with trying to figure out exactly what do they know about this election, what just happened. And I have them write down and help me to compile a list of everything they know about Clinton and everything they know about Donald Trump. And if they know anything about Bernie Sanders and Jill Stein, and we start with what they know. And then we either help them to do some corrective work, because some of the things, a lot of the things they know are not true, particularly some of their comments.
A lot of things a lot of people know are not true.
Not true.
I mean,
we, you
know, Diane Reen just did an hour
on fake news.
Yeah,
right? But I think it's helping students to make sense of that and then helping them to see how it impacts them. We start talking about life in the classroom kind of being a mirror reflection of life at home and life in society, helping them to heal from what they think this nation is going through based upon their parents' reaction.
And Dr. Moore, the other day when I was talking to Kay Whitehead about this project of the new set of lesson plans, I said, you know, was there an Obama teach-in 8 years ago? And she just laughed, you know, said, of course not. We didn't need an Obama teach-in. This may seem like a silly and obvious question, but to you, what is the difference between the election of Mr. Trump, which is historic in that he is the first non-politician, the first business person to be elected, certainly in modern times, and the historic election of Barack Obama, the first person of African descent to be elected. I mean, as an educator, where do you see the distinction, and why do you think there's a need for a so-called Trump curriculum?
Well, one of the things that really struck me about this educational endeavor that we're on as it relates to Trump was that there seemed to be a really critical mass as it relates to the need for us to be able to talk about this. One of the reasons I feel as though we really need to make sure that we do this as it relates to our president-elect, Donald Trump, is that there were so many, as Kay said, so many young children and so many, even all the way up to middle school and college students, who were very, very uncertain about what the future holds. And not only were they uncertain, but also their teachers were uncertain. And their teachers were crying out, asking, what can we do? What can we do to make sure that we have safe spaces and sanctuary spaces within our campus? And I don't, unless I miss something, I don't recall in our last two, political seasons, there being that kind of need. I think that there's a lot of uncertainty as it relates to how individual students and people within society are going to treat each other. Many people are afraid and fearful for what the future holds. And so I feel as though that's what the impetus was and what was different about the reasons that we need the Trump syllabus.
And Dr. Schiller, the notion of President-elect Trump's qualifications for office was discussed from the moment he announced his campaign, you know, a year and a half ago. And there were various opinions, many of them, including mine, which I was not bashful about voicing on this program, that held that Mr. Trump really is in way over his head, that he's not qualified for this office. But there are others who say that he is automatically qualified by merit of the fact that he was elected. In the Electoral College, he won substantially. He won by 74 votes, even though Secretary Clinton did garner, you know, 2.7 million more popular votes. But that wasn't the deal that the two of them signed up for. They signed up to compete in the Electoral College. How do we know whether a person is qualified or not? And is the qualification of this particular president part of what we need to be teaching our children?
That's a really good question, because we're still debating the qualifications of Donald Trump, and we may continue to debate that for quite a while. Part of his appeal, though, was that he was, quote unquote, unqualified. A lot of people were drawn to Donald Trump because he wasn't a politician. And for other people, that's incredibly unsettling because there's an unpredictability and anxieties raised by having someone in the White House where you don't have no idea what their track record is, what kinds of decisions they've made on political issues. And so you don't know what's going to come in the future. And yes, I do think we need to talk to young people about that. Just as Dr. Kay said a minute ago, you know, children don't come to us as blank slates. They have lots of thoughts, ideas, and they're also feeling unsettled. And if we don't talk to them about it, those feelings of anxiety will just fester. So I think that we need to be prepared for that in the sense that we need to share openly and honestly how we're feeling as adults, which is unsettled. My own children, who are in second and sixth grade, we've talked about this very openly, that I don't know all the answers. I don't know what's going to come. And that's okay. We need to prepare ourselves in all kinds of ways with knowledge and arm ourselves with knowledge about how the government works, how cabinet members are chosen, what their role is, what we can do about interrupting policies that we think are not good for the country.
Jessica Schiller is an assistant professor of education in the Department of Instructional Leadership and Development at Towson University. She's here in the studio along with Dr. K. Wise Whitehead, who's on the faculty of Loyola University, Maryland, and Dr. Alicia Moore joins us from Georgetown, Texas, where she's a professor at Southwestern University. It's midday. I'm Tom Hall. You are welcome to join our conversation about teaching Trump to kids. 410-662-8780, our email address midday@wipr.org, and our Twitter handle @MiddayTomHall. So, Dr. K, 48% of the people who voted for Mrs. Clinton. 46% voted for Mr. Trump. 40-something percent didn't vote at all.
Yes.
There are people who would be people who did not support Secretary Clinton, who would be equally abashed, equally appalled if Hillary Clinton were now the president-elect. How do you handle that in a classroom where there may be kids whose parents would be just absolutely appalled at the notion of a Hillary Clinton presidency?
I'm laughing as I'm listening to your question because I'm sure Alicia is laughing as well, because prior to the final numbers being tallied, we thought long and hard about this, and we actually created the Clinton syllabus with the notion that Hillary Clinton was going to win and people would need materials for this other large portion of the population who did not support her candidacy for a number of different reasons. Definitely not because she wasn't qualified, but for a reason around her personality or her history or what they thought of her truthfulness. So we had prepared for that. And we were surprised, and we began to move into this action stance that we needed to create materials as quickly as possible to have these conversations, to get people to start talking about it, to have them think about ways that the country is shifting and changing, to think about even just the appointments that Donald Trump has talked about and how those appointments are signaling a new shift in the ways in which this country has been operating the last 8, and you could almost argue the last 12 years. Even under Bush, we had a number of policies that were very progressive in a lot of different ways. And I also wanted to pick up before I end, I love that question that you asked Dr. Jessica about this notion of being qualified, because when I speak with people, they're like, well, no, he got elected. That means he is qualified. I'm like, but if I choose my own doctor and he never went to medical school, just because I choose him, doesn't mean he's qualified to cut me open. I mean, we tend to do a lot of research when we choose a doctor or a dentist. If we go to patient first, we think about who's going to do our hair and who's going to do our, we want them to have all kinds of qualifications to do those type of jobs. But here is someone who's responsible for the direction of this country, someone who's responsible to be the face and the voice of this country. And that person can be kind of a sharpshooter, a rogue edge, and not sure. And to me, that person needs to be even more qualified because the stakes are higher. Something may splash here, like a tweet from Donald Trump at 3 a.m. in the morning may simply splash in his world, but it could just drown other countries when you think about the power he has through his own word and what does it mean to have that power and be very reckless in the ways in which you use it.
Dr. Alicia Moore, let me give you the last word before we take a little break. The table of contents in this Trump syllabus, K through 12, includes things like what the elections taught us, exploring the new political climate, the reasons that Trump won, exploring the fake news cycle. Explain to the Trump voter, explain to the person who's happy to have Mr. Trump as the president-elect, what the aspirations for this curriculum are.
I really believe that if whether you voted for Trump or you voted for Hillary, regardless, I really believe that if someone would like for our country to be moving in the right direction, I feel as though there's a need to be able to teach and teach about Trump in ways in which we are thinking critically about what this holds and what this means for our future. And so I would tell the Trump voter that just as we dissect and disaggregate statistics and other kinds of news stories and other kinds of historical figures and learn about them in ways that are different and conceptualize about who they are and what they bring to the office of the presidency, I feel as though I think they would understand that all we're trying to do is to be able to, in some ways, and I'll call it level the playing field, in order to allow all of us to step back, take an opportunity to really get to know who is our president-elect and see what that means as we move forward. And so it's in no way meant to be something that's derogatory to the office of the presidency, which we respect highly, but it's an opportunity for us to be able to access the information as it relates to his presidency through a different lens.
Great. Well, we'll pick up on this notion of respect for the office when we come back from a break. That's Dr. Alicia Moore. She's on the line from Georgetown, Texas. She's a professor at Southwestern University in Texas. Professor Jessica Schiller from Towson University is here in studio, along with Dr. K. Wise Whitehead from the Department of Communications and African and African-American Studies at Loyola University, Maryland. It's midday. You can join our conversation, 410-662-8780. Our email address, midday@wypr.org. Our Twitter handle, @MiddayTomHall. A bunch of phone calls that we are going to get to when we come back after a break. Stick around.
This is your NPR News Station, 88.1 WYPR, where you're listening to Midday.
And welcome back to Midday here on 88.1 WYPR. I'm Tom Hall. By the way, coming up tomorrow on the program, we'll talk sports with Midday sports guru Mark Hyman from George Washington University and John Eisenberg, who covers the Ravens for BaltimoreRavens.com. Joe Flacco and company had a great day against Miami last Sunday. Do you think they're finding their groove as the regular season nears its conclusion? We'll talk about their division-leading season so far and their chances against Tom Brady and the New England Patriots this Sunday. That's all coming up tomorrow on Midday. And coming up later today, theater critic J. Wynn Russick will be here with her weekly review. We're going to find out what Judy thought of A Christmas Story, the musical at the Hippodrome. If you've just joined us today, we're talking with Dr. K. Wise Whitehead from Loyola University, Maryland, Dr. Jessica Schiller from Towson University, and Dr. Alicia Moore from Southwestern University in Texas about a new curriculum designed to help teachers work with their K through 12 students to understand and respond to the presidential election. Our phone number for you all to get involved, 410-662-8780. Our email address, midday@wypr.org. You can drop us a tweet as well, @MiddayTomHall. Let's go right to the phones. John in Bellcamp, welcome to Midday with Kay Whitehead, Jessica Schiller, and Alicia Moore.
Hi, good to talk to you.
Thanks for your call. What's on your mind today?
Well, I teach multiculturalism and diversity as part of larger communications courses. I teach at Stevenson, at CCBC, and I've got a seniors class at Loch Raven High School right now. And I've found kids have a real thirst for trying to figure out where their life is going and how this kind of thing fits in the context of the lives that they will live as an adult. As adults, they need to talk about these kinds of things, but as a full semester kind of curriculum, I think that's a mistake that gets too deep into the weeds. What they seem to respond to in every class I've ever taught is the ideas like this in the context of where life is taking them, knowing how different America is going to look 30 years from now or 40 years from now when they're fully functioning professionals in life and they have children of their own. That's what they need. They need some sense of where this thing fits in that larger context, because that's what their life is about. This is a short-term phenomenon. This is going to go away in a few years, and it will have effects, yes. But I think the larger focus has got to be on the multicultural aspects of life in America, what Americans will be, and whether or not this, what has just happened, will have any significant impact later on in those lives that those kids are going to be living.
Well, you know, for example, Mr. Trump may well make as many as 4 appointments to the Supreme Court. And if that's the case, that's going to affect not only these kids, but their children and perhaps their grandchildren. I mean, this is, you know, this is a generational thing. Dr. Kay, one of your contributions to this curriculum is talking about creating a sanctuary classroom. John makes an interesting point that maybe the classroom isn't the time, isn't the place for this, that, you know, if we get too deep in the weeds is this, in fact, an effort of resistance, and does resistance belong in classrooms and public schools in the United States?
Well, I don't think if resistance doesn't belong in classrooms and public schools, it doesn't belong anywhere. I mean, because we should be training young people how to be involved citizens in this great experiment called democracy. I created the Sanctuary Classroom Lesson Plan in response to students at an independent school reaching out to me and saying, we want to help to transform our community here. Can you help us do that? And so it was in response to them that I actually created this sanctuary. I want to note that Trump's syllabus K-12 is actually a syllabus and not a curriculum, right? So a curriculum is something that is prescriptive. It lays out everything that's going to happen. This is just a syllabus. So there are lesson plans that teachers can pick and choose from. Maybe they want to talk about writing white privilege. Maybe they want to talk about the Electoral College. Maybe they want to talk about a sanctuary classroom. The lesson plans are there. They can simply download the entire lesson plan, take it right into their classroom.
Yeah, it's very specific. I mean, there's 20 different chapters, 20 different topics,
yes.
and it really has charts, graphs, resources, questions to ask, you know.
Everything.
You know,
but it's not a curriculum, because I don't think we need to spend the entire semester talking about Trump, just like we shouldn't spend the entire semester talking about the Civil War. I mean, we know that we are not a country that gets over things at all. I mean, we're still talking about the Civil War as if the results will change just because I continue to fly my Confederate flag. So given that reality, we need to help students to make sense of it, and also begin to process this with their knowledge base and help them to decide what are the questions they need to ask. Because for many of our students in 4 years, they'll actually be voting for the next president.
Sure.
We want them to be able to ask the right questions.
Got a bunch of folks on the phone, and we're going to try to get to everybody. But Dr. Schiller, let me ask you about the school of thought that says Trump deserves a chance. We just need to give the guy a break. He won the election. He hasn't done anything. He hasn't even taken office yet. And everybody's sort of, you know, going crazy about this. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who's a very thoughtful guy, has been filing a lot of op-eds for The Washington Post. He says that, you know, people like Ron Johnson, for example, who's the head of, or Bob Johnson, rather, who's the head of Black Entertainment Television, who has suggested, you know, we've got to give Trump the benefit of the doubt. And Kareem Abdul-Jabbar says, no, we don't. We have enough to go on based on the sort of vitriol that was that he generated during the campaign.
Well, I'm with Kareem on that one. I think that, you know, what we're seeing out in schools and classrooms and communities tells us enough about the reaction to Donald Trump, enough that we need to know. We do need to deal with this and not wait to give Donald Trump a chance. There's a lot of education that needs to happen among young people, just like the caller said earlier. Teenagers are dying to know about their role and how it fits in to this political moment, and then going forward, what does that mean for them as adults? So to me, that screams out for us to really be teaching very specifically about what this political moment means in schools and communities, and to get people an understanding about what their role is and how they play into that, how they can, you know, not just voting, but what their activist role is.
Of course, getting them to vote in general is probably a bigger challenge than even educating them about what to vote on, because they certainly stayed away this last time, and they've stayed away historically a lot of times. Ed, you're on a cell phone from Towson. Welcome to Midday.
Hi, good morning. Good afternoon. I'm calling in response to a little give and take you had a few minutes ago when you asked, well, if you're teaching this Trump syllabus, did you teach an Obama syllabus, and what's the difference? And I didn't hear anybody say the obvious difference, and that is, tell me who Obama was threatening in his march to the office.
Well, the
Mr. Trump threatened an awful lot of people, and I think that that's the big difference. That's why they're scared to death.
Well, Ed, let me tell you who they were threatening, who the president threatened. And the Southern Poverty Law Center chronicled an enormous increase in hate groups and membership in hate organizations that spiked in 2008 when the president was elected. I mean, militias, you know, had their numbers go way, way up. I mean, there are an awful lot of people who thought the end of the world had happened because Barack Obama was elected president of the United States. So there were people certainly on the right who were very concerned about it. Obviously, it's a very different tenor now, and it's, I think it has to do with the fact that the campaign that Obama ran was a very against both Senator McCain and Governor Romney was a very they were different campaigns than the campaign that we've just witnessed with Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. But I appreciate the call. Thanks so much, Dominique from Baltimore City. Welcome to Midday. Thanks for your call.
Yes, good afternoon, everybody. How y'all doing?
Good, thanks.
All right, good. I just wanted to respond to the education piece with the children in school, especially the teenagers and the high school kids. We need to first start with letting them understand the voting process and how they can affect change on a local level, and let that kind of build towards the grand scheme of a presidential election. Because it'll be very educational and very responsible for us as adults to make sure that these kids understand the voting process, what each branch of the government represents, and how they can affect change on a local level first, before they jump to a presidential election. That's how you have sustained voting. Also letting them know their choices outside of the Democratic and Republican fiasco and the media frenzy that goes on with those two parties, and just giving them all their choices, especially the education piece behind voting on a local level for the local and state senators and council people and things like this. That's where we need to start with the education piece.
Great point, Dominique. And of course, you know, the old saying is that all politics is local. Unfortunately, not all elections are particularly the local ones, are paid attention to quite as much as they should. Dr. Moore in Texas, we've had a couple of incidents here in a jurisdiction called Howard County, which is in large measure a fairly affluent district in a suburb of Baltimore, in which students were sending racist messages and very insensitive material. We had a kid dressing as blackface and, you know, taking a picture of herself, saying, "Finally, I'm an N-word," a kid from a high school called River Hill High School. Another woman, a young lady, posted a photo of herself holding what appeared to be a gun, and the phrase was, "I'm about to shoot some N-words." I mean, this is happening all over the country. And this election, of course, is happening in the context of Black Lives Matter, in the context of Ferguson and Baltimore and Charleston and you name it. Is that part of what we need to be teaching our kids now? I mean, is Trump a sort of logical conclusion to a tendency in American society to become less tolerant in these last 18 months?
Well, I really think that some of the rhetoric that we heard with this 2016 presidential presidential election really laid the foundation, but it also opened some, what I believe was some white fatigue and feelings that people had been disenfranchised regardless of whether or not they were affluent or not, if they were white. And so I really do believe that what has happened is that people have become emboldened. But let me make sure that everyone understands and make no mistake. I teach a course here at the university called School Society and Diversity. And so for each semester, I continue to do research so that I can update my students about what's going on. And so we look at five isms, racism, and we look at sexism, ableism, heterosexism, and we also expand that to look at what multiculturalism means. And there is no paucity of those kinds of events happening. So they're happening all of the time. I just think that people are more, they feel more empowered by the Trump presidency and some of the things that he said that in some ways took the lid off, or in some ways ripped the lid off of things that people were already feeling.
Let's go to the phones. Kellogg in Baltimore, you've been patient waiting to be on Midday. Welcome to the program.
Yes, and welcome to everybody, and hello.
Hi.
I want to kind of piggyback on what Dominique was saying because of the fact that I want to understand why you call it a Trump piece that you're teaching the kids. Because, I mean, what is it that you're actually teaching them about Trump? Because my thing is this. I would like to see basically, you know, your curriculums that you have that you would actually put into the school system. I was a substitute teacher where I dealt with these kids, and you know, the kids back then 20 years ago are different from the kids that are here and now. And I just wonder, you know, where you want to carry this thing, because my thing is Trump does not scare me. What Trump, and you just mentioned that what happens is people wanted to probably lash out about things long time ago, but because of the fact that Trump ran on the ticket that he ran on, which was, you know, talking about women and, you know, talking about, you know, the wall and everything else. I mean, folks were mad with America because of what was going on and what they were losing. So Trump turned around and talks about what was going on, but he's also talking about what he's trying to bring back. And the thing is, everybody asked the question, were you better off 10 years ago than you are now? And the question is that 9 times out of 10, you're going to hear the answer, no, we're not. Because we've lost a lot. Well, so how do you put Trump out there?
All right. Kellogg, thank you for your call. Dr. K?
I think that's a great question, and it's one that we've been getting a lot of feedback from around the country. People have been sending me emails and tweets saying, why are you calling it Trump Syllabus K-12? Why not call it a syllabus of diversity, a syllabus of us? Why not call it inaugurating a new agenda? Why not call it something else other than what you want to call it? Why give him more power, as if the naming of this syllabus gives it more power? Well, this is what teachers have specifically asked before. They want material about how do I teach about Donald Trump and this presidential election? How do I teach about his campaign? That is what they asked for. I think there's a lot of power with what we name things. We are calling this Trump Syllabus K-12, but if you go look at the Trump Syllabus K-12, there are no lesson plans on here about how Donald Trump's a wonderful person, a great leader, and he's ushering in a wonderful new America. There are lesson plans in here about Black feminist criminology, lesson plans about hope, action, and freedom in times of uncertainty, lesson plans about writing white privilege. Excuse me. There are lesson plans that cover all of the hateful and divisive things that he talked about, helping students to unpack this in the classroom. Where do I want to take it? I just want to make the materials available to any teacher or any parent who wants to have these conversations, who's looking for resources in which to do that. I also want to note, as someone who previously wrote both the 6th, 7th, and the 8th grade social studies curriculum for Baltimore City, I understand the need for a curriculum that's wide-ranging and impactful. I also understand in times of crises, in times of emergencies, in times when people are crying out, you need to drill down deep and answer the questions that they have at that moment.
We have an email from Tom in Frederick. He says, children and adults need to learn to question what doesn't sound right and to speak up. about what they disagree with, and to learn that leaders must be as accountable as, perhaps even more accountable than, citizens in a democracy. I mean, Jessica Schiller, one of the things that I think is very troubling about Mr. Trump is that he says stuff that isn't true all the time. And so just vetting what is actually, you know, verisimilitude and what is fiction becomes a problem. And then that problem is, you know, exacerbated by fake news and other people who are saying things that aren't true as well. It could even be the Russian government helping those fake news sites to propagate the misinformation. That's a big part. I mean, teaching kids to discern correctly is a big part of this, is it not?
Absolutely. And we were just talking about this the other day, that part of what's needed right now desperately is some critical media literacy for folks to really understand what's real, what's fake, and so much actually is fake, but how to really critically discern what information is out there. And I actually know a close colleague of mine who's a teacher here in Baltimore that's doing some of that work by showing his students how different news outlets and different media outlets deal with the same topic, having them compare and contrast those treatments, and starting to figure out as middle schoolers, you know, how do you decide what's verifiable.
Well, that is all the time we have for this very, very interesting discussion. I appreciate everybody. Dr. Alicia Moore is a professor in the education department at Southwestern University. Dr. Moore, thank you so much for your time today. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
And here in studio, Professor Jessica Schiller from Towson University and Dr. Kay Wise Whitehead from the Loyola University, Maryland. Thank you so much. I appreciate
it. Thank you so much.
The event is tonight at 7 o'clock at Red Emma's Bookstore in Station North. We'll have a link to it on our website, wypr.org/midday. Coming up after a short break, theater critic J. Wynn Russick will be here. Stick around. We'll be right back.
This is your NPR news station, 88.1 WYPR, where you're listening to Midday.